integrative health info. At its best, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
This is Dr. Decker Weiss here. Dr. Holly Lucille is out teaching and training. She's training physicians as well as teaching the members of the public as well as medical students about natural medicine. We have Radio MD's own Melanie Cole. Hey, Melanie. Welcome.
Oh, hey, Dr. Weiss. Thanks for having me today.
Vitamin D. How do I know if I need it? It seems like every day we're seeing articles coming up about vitamin D. Is this stuff magic? Where was it before? Am I the one who needs it? Does everybody need it all the time? I'd say vitamin D is popping up at least once or twice a day in my emails and being asked to blog and things. Are you seeing it all over the land as well, Mel?
I certainly am, Dr. Weiss, and because we seem to be so afraid of the sun these days, and sunblocks are getting thicker and heavier, and, you know, people are saying, oh, you must get checked by your physician now for your vitamin D levels. So what do you think about all this?
Well, what I think is that we're not outside enough. I mean, it's not natural for vitamin D to be low, but I think there's more. There's always been a theory that fluorescent lights actually decrease the amount of vitamin D you have. Because they're really, fluorescent lights are mostly not the full spectrum that we get from the sun. So there's always been a theory that not only are we not outside, but we're around things that are zapping our existing stores. What amazes me is I've had a practice in Europe for 15 years, and I see the amount of people coming back with low vitamin D's. I mean, you should get enough vitamin D walking to your car.
Well, I mean, you know, but people, now they're even makeup and everything we wear has sunblock in it.
Yeah, and I think we're paying the price for it because we went to this other extreme of, okay, you know, we're all worried about skin cancer, so we're going to put this sunblock in everything, and then we're going to drop this vitamin D level. So I have a little bit of a quiz that I sort of put together from a bunch of different research to decide whether clinically you're low in vitamin D. Now, this isn't just, you know, maybe running a lab level, which, you know, those lab levels are kind of come and go, but looking at your life and your overall health and seeing if vitamin D is something that you need. Am I saying that well, you know, closing the practice theory gap? Am I getting that message out clear what I mean by that?
Absolutely. So what is the quiz?
Okay. So these are six signs that you could be vitamin D deficient. So there's six different conditions that you have. That if you have these, then actually it's more than that. I'm looking at 10 of these. See, I should actually read my notes. It's 10 different symptoms or signs or diseases that you, if you have them, you are probably vitamin D deficient. Now, there's a chicken and egg thing here, Mel, meaning that the disease you have might be causing the vitamin D deficiency, or the vitamin D deficiency allowed the disease to start. But it really doesn't matter because you're just low. And it needs to be replaced. You're not going to get over any of these things unless you get your vitamin D levels up. So are we ready? Have I thoroughly confused you enough yet, Mel?
Let's do it.
Okay. If you tend to get the flu. Now, I know that that sounds kind of very general, but it's still unnatural to get the flu. And I know that the flu seasons are going up and up and up, but there's a lot of reasons for that. There's stress and poor food and diet, not drinking water. There's all sorts of things with the seasonal changes that we're going through. But it's still unnatural to get the flu. And there's in the Cambridge studies, Cambridge journals, they were finding that vitamin D deficiency predisposed children and adults, but specifically children, to the types of flus that hit your lungs. Now, I know what that is because when I get a cold, Mel, it goes to my chest. And so when I read that, I immediately upped my vitamin D. Now, I didn't have the flu and I didn't do that, but I thought that it was safe enough and protective enough that I thought that was a good idea. So summarize that, the flu, especially in children. And if you're one of those folks that the flu just heads down to your chest every time, it might be because you're vitamin D deficient.
Okay.
Alrighty. Muscle weakness. Now, this is a very, you know, one of those things, but muscle weakness in a sense that you feel like if you're working out and you're not able to hold muscle tissue, or if you just, I don't know, you can't lift the weight that you used to, and all of a sudden your muscles are getting weaker and you're not sure why, vitamin D is necessary to build muscle. Next thing, psoriasis. And psoriasis, all of these skin rashes, Mel, they're hard. And any doctor out there that gets on the phone with you or is sitting across from you and says, oh, psoriasis and eczema, oh, that's easy to get rid of. They're selling you a bridge, Mel. Just letting you know, they're selling you a bridge. And psoriasis has been notoriously difficult. And what did we find? Incredibly low vitamin D levels in psoriasis. Now, psoriasis, that tissue, that probably blocks the ability for the skin to create the proper vitamin D. So it's a chicken and egg thing. But there's no doubt that people with psoriasis should probably be on up to 2,000, maybe even 5,000 units of D3 per day. And I bet you that their psoriasis improves. It may not get rid of it, but I bet it improves. Okay. I'm going to kind of wing through the rest of these a little bit. Chronic kidney disease. So if you're a person that has any kidney conditions, you want to consider taking vitamin D, unless you're on dialysis. Then you got to check with your doctor. So again, let me repeat that. Any chronic kidney disease, unless you're in dialysis. Diabetes, both 1 and 2. We found that these people were very low in vitamin D. Asthma as well. And hey, Mel, there's that respiratory link to vitamin D again. Periodontal disease. Probably related to the calcium in the teeth, cardiovascular disease, all of it. Harvard University nurses study found low vitamin D in 67% of the women, 67% of the patients that came in for hypertension. So let me repeat that. Harvard University study, they did nurses and it was generally women in the study, and they found that over 2/3 of the women who had high blood pressure also had low vitamin D. And then schizophrenia, depression, and cancer. All three of those conditions. Now, I want to be real clear here, Mel. We're not talking about reversing these conditions, but we are talking about the opportunity to reverse these conditions or stabilize them. Does that make sense?
It does, and it's so interesting when you mention the respiratory, you know, situations, and mm-hmm. I'm not somebody who, it goes into my chest for just a day, and then it's mostly up in my sinuses, anything that I get. And that's so interesting that it can help with respiratory conditions and even psoriasis, eczema, skin conditions. That would make sense.
Yeah, it does, because it's a fat-soluble antioxidant. When you look at those fat-soluble antioxidants, A, D, E, K, and with the D family, you have the D2, which is your kind of storage form, and then you have the D3, which you see is very popular in supplements out there right now. It's the active form of it.
How much would you like us to be taking? If and how much do you take? How much would you recommend people take to keep up their levels?
You know, you can take the recommendations and sort of throw them out the window now, because it's very similar to like what we're seeing with testosterone being low on these men across the board. I'm thinking about 4,000 IUs a day is what it's going to probably take for the average person who's not outside a lot. And I think that's a big preface. Now, I'm a male, and I live in a warm weather climate. And there's one of the things in Arizona is we don't have clouds, Mel. We just don't have clouds. It's freaky weird how we don't have clouds here. So for me, I think 2,000 IUs is probably fine. But for the average person probably that is working in an office, and I'm always in and out of my car and I'm bouncing around town, so I get some sun. The average person, probably 4,000 IUs a day, but it's being argued all across the way now. Have you bumped into recommendations on a consistent recommendation of what vitamin D and how much people need to have?
Well, generally, you know, I hear between 1,000 and 2,000, maybe up to 4, but we only have about 30 seconds. Give us your best vitamin D recommendations.
Well, I say always a combination of D2 and D3. Always use a combination of those two. It's always a mistake just to take the straight D3, and then at minimum 2,000, and then at max, if you're an indoor person or you're using a lot of sunblock, look at the 4,000 IUs of vitamin D.
Well, these are great recommendation. Maybe up to 4,000 vitamin D, both vitamin D2 and 3. Take the combination. It can help you with respiratory illness and psoriasis. So many things, as Dr. Decker Weiss has pointed out. This is Melanie Cole filling in for Dr. Holly Lucille on It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science. We'll be back.